We're in the middle of a sermon series on the biblical book of Daniel, and the sermon series is titled Identity Formation. How do we become, how did we become who we are? And how do we become who we desire to be? We've wrestled with these questions for 6 weeks through six sermons preached from the book of Daniel. And through these 6 weeks, we've been seeing that as disciples and followers of Jesus, God has called us to a core identity that is in the image and likeness of Christ Jesus. But the world would rather have us grow into an identity that is unlike Jesus. And we've been seeing that in this very real tension that all of us are living in between the values of Christ and between the values of the world, it is in this tension that our identities are being formed. And from the book of Daniel, we've seen some very practical and relevant truths. We saw that if our identities are shaped merely by our talents, we will be constantly under a pressure to perform and prove ourselves over and over and over again. But if our identities flow from God, we can find rest and fulfillment in God. We also saw that our identities will be formed by how we allow the gospel to shape our responses to fear and pride. You can listen to all of these six sermons online. But this morning, we're going to be doing something different. The Bible in the book of James, it warns us to not merely listen to the word and so deceive ourselves, but it says do what it says. James calls us to be hearers of the word and to be doers of the word. And so today we're not going to have a seventh sermon in the series, but we're going to be reflecting, thinking, talking about how do we apply this, all that we've learned in our lives. And so we're going to have a panel discussion where people are going to share their joys, their successes, and also their struggles. And we're going to hear some very honest stories of how broken we are, but how the grace of God is more than sufficient to not only forgive our brokenness, but also to transform. So that said, allow me to invite the panel for today. We have Asher, Madhu, Roshni. Yeah, let's give them a big hand. Stephen and Tarika. Let's dive into the panel. If you've not listened to any of these six sermons, this is still going to be relevant to you. We're grappling with a simple question. Our identities are being formed every single day. The world wants to shape our identities in a certain way. Our workplaces, we experience this. But Christ wants to shape our identities in a different way. And it is in this tension that our identities are being shaped. And that's essentially what you're going to be looking at. That's essentially, in a nutshell, what we've been looking at 6 weeks. So if you miss all of those sermons, this is still relevant to you. So let's dive in. We've been seeing that the world wants to shape our identities. Christ can shape our identities. So I'm going to request each of the panelists to look back at the last year or so and talk about some of the positive things, some of the Christ-like things, and some of the negative things, both positive and negative, that have been shaping your identities on your life journey. So maybe we should have a lady go first. So maybe I want to request Roshni if she'd like to go first. Let's talk about some positive things and some negative things that have been shaping your identities over the last year or so.
Hello. Yeah, so in the last 1 year, personally, I've had a huge fundamental shift in roles in my personal life. Most of you would know about a year and a half back, I became a mom. So that definitely changed my identity. I was only, a wife and a human rights lawyer. But in the last 1 year, that all of that changed. I became not just a wife. I was a wife. I quit practicing law and started a food tech company with my husband. And I'm still a mom. So these three things were definitely, these three identities as a wife, as a mom, as a business person, these three identities have been being shaped in the last 1 year. And my identity, it's been a bit of a struggle because it's been a challenge to balance what do you choose to do first. Should I choose to be a good mom? Should I choose to be a good entrepreneur? So it's been a bit of a tough reason.
Yeah, that's helpful. So I think we're going to be looking at how, as we live our practical everyday lives, how God's word and the teachings of Christ Jesus is helping us on this journey. Taru, would you like to go next? Yeah.
I think for me, one of the positive things, or maybe I'll start with the negative. I think one of the negative things that I sort of was experiencing through the last year in terms of my identity was I discovered in myself this really deep need for people's approval, and I was running after it, and I saw that very clearly, and I started to sort of, I really didn't want to be involved in seeing my Hello.
Yeah.
And the failures that... So I think that was one of the negative things that I saw in myself, something that was part of my identity. But one of the big positive things that I experienced is I got married last year. And there's nothing like having a close community and an even closer person to you to force you to sort of look at your fears and not run away. So I think having this community and also Felix in my life was a really positive thing because I couldn't run away from, my need for people and the failures that the things that I did wrong through that I had to stand and stare at them. And that really helped me to build my faith.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for being honest, vulnerable. Madhu, would you like to go next? Yeah.
So I've made points.
Sure.
So some of the positive things that have shaped my identity... one particular sermon, which was actually two particular sermons at church were pretty... Hello? Yeah, can you hear me?
Keep it close.
Yeah, two sermons really were groundbreaking last year for me in terms of like really bringing me out of some of the things I didn't even know that I was struggling with. So one sermon was when it was about the talents, right? It was a man who had five talents, a man who had one talent, and then the man who had two talents. So every time I read the story in the Bible, I always, admired the wisdom of the man who had more talents and who invested in it and, reaped more talents. And then I always thought that, I shouldn't be that person who had just one talent and didn't do anything of it. But then what was an absolute revelation for me was that, having two talents, the man in between who had two talents but did not compare himself to the man who had five or to the man who had one, and then went and still in good faith went and did his, bit to grow. So for me, it was coming to terms with the fact that, hey, I may not have everything that... I would want to, or, I can look at someone and say that who doesn't have as much as me and say that, I'm better off. But, really being rooted about, what God has given me and being the best version of, what I have. So that was one thing which was really positive, that sort of broke through. The second thing was the sermon on Leah and Rachel. Whenever I read... this bit in the Bible, I always identified with Leah. It was Leah who does not get the love of her husband. She doesn't get chosen. And, so I always identified with Leah. But for me to come to a realization that God brings in Jesus Christ through the genealogy of Leah, someone who was forsaken, someone who was not chosen, that again was like, okay, like, I might be rejected, but, God accepts me. And I don't know what there's something glorious that's going to come out. I know it sounds preachy, but it just really worked through me. And some of the things I'm really struggling with, in my life, in terms of negative things that have shaped my identity, which I recognize, and some of them maybe I still don't recognize. One is ratings at work. I don't know if anyone is with me. Ratings every year, you know, defining whether you are at a 2, whether you're at a 3, whether you're at a 4-on-5 or 5-on-5. And when you have a boss who tells, you know, who's actually competing with her peers and she wants you to get promoted because she doesn't want to look bad, that, you know, her junior is not getting promoted. So, you know, those kind of pressures and recognizing that, you know, I'm living in a system where what Anand was saying, that, you know, it's very opposite to what, you know, there's a constant tension, right? So that is one. And the second thing is, you know, I come from, I've had the good fortune to study in a very good B school. And that baggage, you know, I've realized it works more against me, because whenever I tell anyone I'm from Indian School of Business, they already have assumptions and, you know, they're out to tear me down. So that is something that has always, you know, sort of shaped my, you know, that has been shaping my identity subconsciously. Oh, I'm from here, I'm from here. But now I've realized that, you know, I need to break away from that and, you know, be more conscious of it. So these are... Yeah.
That's great. That's very helpful. I think what we've been hearing so far, a couple of things. God meets us in our brokenness. He ministers to us in our brokenness. We're hearing that. And faith in Jesus has to be really applied in the reality of daily life. What Mother was sharing in terms of drawing an identity from ISB and replacing that with being loved by Christ. So these are real practical challenges that I'm sure all of us are dealing with. Maybe Stephen can go next and Asher after that, yeah.
So I think one thing that God has really brought to my notice in the last few months actually is all my life I've lived with the need to be good enough and to hear from people that I was good enough. And I realized this need in my life has been very deep-rooted and very subtle. So I'll give you an example. Only a couple of months ago, God took me back to these childhood fantasies or teenage fantasies that I had when I was in college. And I always dreamt of being in a relationship. And one consistent thing that was part of that fantasy or the daydream rather was, Stephen, you're so good. And it's only recently that I realized that from so long ago, I've been seeking this need for somebody to tell me, Stephen, you're so good. And I realize that it's so subtle, it's so deep-rooted, and the need to hear from people that I was good enough has honestly been crushing for me for the last so many years. And I think the freedom that I've experienced in the last year in just knowing that this is something that I'm struggling with has been an immense blessing for me. And I think the way this has played out for me, for example, is I struggle to repent, because repent means accepting that I'm not good enough and I messed up. Or somebody, even in our relationship, Ruchi telling me, Stephen, you need to improve over here, meant I got really defensive, because again, it meant she telling me that I'm not good enough. And I felt like all my life I've been walking around with this begging bowl, saying, please approve me, please approve me, please approve me. But the bowl has always been empty and I've never had anything to give. And so I think God is teaching me that you're worthy before me because of what Christ has done on the cross. Your cup is already full. And in that full cup, you can now go out and be a blessing to others, versus when I'm looking for man's approval, it's a selfish existence. Amen. So that's been my example.
Thank you, Stephen, for being very honest. I think that's something from what he shared that we could probably just reflect on for just a moment. What is forming our identities? People around us, our bosses, colleagues, friends, neighbors, families, telling us we are good? Or us receiving by faith, God telling us that we are good because of what Christ has done on our behalf? I think that's essentially what Stephen is trying to communicate. Very helpful. I think it would be wonderful for us to kind of just introspect on that a little bit. Asha?
Yeah, some of the positive things that I experienced in the last year was definitely marriage. I think my wife has really helped me shape my identity and become a much better person. And Also, being involved with the worship team has helped me really learn about how to serve sacrificially, which was something new for me. Some of the negative things I feel is what, just like Stephen said, validation from my peers and from my boss was very high. Just last year, I moved from a different setup to a new job, and a very demanding job, and I'm still in that job. And currently, the struggles that I am facing is, how can I please my boss? How can she be happy with me? What do I have to do extra that she likes me more? So with this entire series, I'm seeing that this is a sin. This is something that I need to work on. And the series has really helped me open my eyes to it. I'm still struggling in this area, but through the series, I'm able to see what is right and what God is asking of me.
Great. I think we should give them a big round of applause for being just so honest, so truthful, so vulnerable, not trying to be someone they are not. And I think in what they've shared, I think there is a very beautiful truth that's emerging. That is, we all have a craving for our identities to be formed. It's there in us. We cannot run away from it. The question is, are we going to allow God to shape that identity and fulfill that craving? Or are we going to allow our work and our families to shape our identities and fulfill that craving? There is no middle ground. The craving exists. It's either God who's shaping us, or we are allowing other things to shape us, and that's going to set us up for disappointment. I think it's time to hear your voice once again. So you're going to have another question that's going to come up for us. Is it important to reflect and understand the process through which our identities are being formed? If you can just go back to menti.com, the code is there, and let's see what your voice is. Is it important to reflect and understand the process through which our identities are being formed? Extremely important. Important, not at all important. Anyone else? I hope no one's having any trouble with the software. That's good. No one is saying not at all important. That's great. Wonderful. So we're realizing, we're becoming aware of the need to be conscious, to think about how our identities are being formed. There's one not at all important. That's good too. Great. So let's move to the next question for the panel. Have there been learnings from the series that you've been able to practically apply in your life? And could you maybe share one specific and practical example? Whoever wants to can go first. Yeah. Go ahead.
So I think there was this sermon that Anand spoke on tough bosses. There was one quote that he said that really resonated with me. He said a tough boss would always keep reminding you that essentially your future is in his hands. I think in December we had a discussion with our head of HR, and we had kind of not given very good feedback about how the team was being run, and he was really annoyed about it. Basically, he said in no uncertain words, if you guys don't shape up this year, y'all are going to lose your jobs. And that was exactly what was said into a big group of people. And I think that it really disturbed me because, again, it was saying, be good enough, otherwise you're out of this place. Yeah. I think when Anand spoke about that, God really reminded me that I am sovereign over your job over here and not your boss. I don't come to work to perform and to be good enough over here, but to serve God and to build God's kingdom. Yeah. And in the end, I'll be here as long as I'm building God's kingdom. And when I need to build God's kingdom somewhere else, God will move me there. Yeah. It's not dependent on what my CHRO says or doesn't say. Yeah. So I think that's how this particular sermon really helped me.
Yeah, I think that's a great example of how we apply the gospel to specific situations, work in this instance. Yeah. Roshni, just.
Sure. So recently, during one of the talks, it was on our boss's dreams. And that's something that really, really deeply struck me because as a person, I had to come to terms with the fact, what is my dream? What do I see from this? And am I just following someone else's dream? Which was a pretty, it was a very strong conviction. And so I even had to say that, listen, I don't think this dream is my dream. And because of that, I was actually, so I have a problem. I don't know how to say no to, I don't know how to say no to certain tasks. And because I was following someone else's dream, I wasn't able to say, no, I can't do this. No, I can't. I was just like, yes, I'll do this. And this talk that, you know, our boss's dreams and our dreams, whose dream am I really enslaved to, made me see that I was really enslaved to someone else's dream, on account of which I just lost my identity. I was just doing helter-skelter, doing whatever needed to be done. And although I'm still in the process of articulating and identifying what is God's dream for me, what is God's calling for me, at least I've come to a place where I've realized I need to learn to say no. I need to stand up and say, hey, this is great, but that's not my dream. And I need to be able to only take on my plate what I can handle and not just take on more to satisfy someone else's dreams.
Yeah. That's good. Yeah. Haru, would you like to?
I think that one of the sermons that really helped me was one of the ones at the beginning, Pride and Fear. That was really struck me. There was, during that sermon, you talked about how failure cannot define our identity, cannot crush us so much it defines our identity. And I think for me, there's always been something, if I fail anywhere, then I'm absolutely crushed by that. I cannot come out of that. And then I run away from failing again, and in that I run away from a lot of things, people, situations, and I think going through that sermon and seeing that even underneath my fear is so much pride that, no, I cannot fail. That can't be something that I do. That's not me. I'm not a failure. Sorry. Failure and failure. But yeah, so I think that was something that really exposed that part of me. And I think just recently I failed in something pretty badly. But I think for the first time in my life, I'm not feeling completely crushed by that. I've seen that through that failure, I'm seeing more the grace of God, which I think I was absolutely denying before.
Yeah.
Because by allowing that failure to identify who I was, I was not looking at the grace of God, which has saved me from that failure.
That's
so
great.
This is one of the
that
first
great,
times.
Yeah, yeah. I think what's also becoming apparent is, from whatever they've been sharing, is there is no difference between the practical and the spiritual.
Yeah.
This dichotomy does not exist. And God, spirituality of following Jesus, being a true follower of Jesus, is enjoying Jesus more and more in these practical, day-to-day life. It's not that we enjoy Jesus in church and not outside. I think that's kind of becoming apparent. So let's have Asher, and then we'll come back to Madhu to finish this round of this question. Yeah.
So I think I was really blessed by the series, and especially on the topic of bosses. adding to what Roshni was saying, I recently had a discussion with my boss before the series started, and she was telling me about how things need to be done, and her expectation was that all of her vision for the organization should be my dreams, and I should follow them, and day and night I should be just focusing on those things. And I was like, whether is this right or is it wrong? I was kind of struggling with it. And then when the series on tough bosses, Anand had shared, I was very clear, this is not what I was supposed to do. So I was not really, till that point, I accepted what my boss was saying. Okay, this is what she's saying. Has to be right. But after that sermon and the way we looked at the book of Daniel and the way he took a stand, I think now she still demands the same way. Nothing really has changed. But my perspective towards her expectations have definitely changed.
That's great.
So my dreams are coming from God and not from anyone else.
Yeah.
So that is something that I'm able to clearly see now after the series.
That's great, yeah. I'm so glad that I didn't invite Felix to be part of this panel. I am his boss, and imagine him sitting here and talking about tough bosses. So I have some wisdom after all. We'll have Madhu.
Tough bosses really hit home hard because. So for me also, it was one of those sermons I went back and heard again. So for me, I recently moved into a new role about 4 months back. I work with Star. And there, I've obviously had a change of bosses. So in the past, in the last few years, what I've observed is that unknowingly I do things, and this is subconscious, okay? Like, I do things to gain my boss's approval. Like, yeah, and it's very strategic, very subliminal, and it comes very naturally. It's almost like you're like that little kid, like, you know, waiting for someone's approval, and that's me. So I recognize that pattern, and so I was very excited about this new role because I'm like, I'm going to just get done with this, you know, I'm going to address this. So I was more conscious this time. And this particular sermon series fell just about that time on tough bosses. And I do have a very, very tough boss. So for me, I think one thing that I've applied is that knowing that my work and my career rests with God. You know, that fear, that constant nagging fear, okay, will I have my job? Will I be able to keep this job? Or where's my career going? You know, my peers are doing this. All of that, just, you know, it's a struggle. I'm not there yet. But, like, just knowing that God is in charge of my career is, I think, helped me move away from seeking my boss's approval. And so, what I'm excited about now is that when I go to work, for me, work is like worship, you know, because for me, it's an opportunity to acknowledge that this work comes from God. It's a provision from God, and, you know, it's my opportunity to worship God. So
absolutely, yeah. Yeah, I do want to invite all of us to, you can keep it, to just see a few things from what they've been sharing. One, the gospel gives us freedom to be honest about our failures. What's enabling them to stand up and just share freely? It's the gospel. Second, even as they've been talking about their vulnerabilities, their struggles, I'm not sensing disappointment in them. I'm sensing hope that as much as the gospel gives us the freedom to face our failures, it also gives us the hope to know that Christ can fix it, that he is fixing this. The third thing, and I'm really excited, I hadn't thought of that and it became apparent to me as I was listening to all of you. This process of our identity formation in the context of the workplace is actually preparing us for evangelism, for being ambassadors of Christ in the workplace. When people see us, see our failure, and yet remain hopeful and yet serve, they are going to come and ask us the reason for our hope. And that's a beautiful opportunity for us slowly, gradually, appropriately, gently, respectfully, lovingly talk to people about Christ Jesus. And Daniel, whose life we've been studying, was doing precisely that. He stood up. He acknowledged that he was a follower of the God who would one day send Christ. So that's been beautiful. I've just been really blessed listening to you. So let's move back to all of you and hear your voice once again. We have a couple of questions. Through the sermon series, are you identifying and weeding out life patterns are you identifying, weeding out life patterns that build identities apart from Christ? Are you becoming aware? And this is more a question for introspection of how we cannot draw identity from things other than Christ. Let's see what we have to say. Somewhat, yes, that's good. And that's part of the goal of this panel discussion. As people, this is testimonies. What are we doing? It's just dressed up as a panel discussion, but it's basically people sharing testimonies of what Christ has done for them. That's exactly what we're doing. That's good. So no one's saying not at all. So that's very, very encouraging. And I'm hoping this panel is helping you reflect, each of you reflect on and understand how we need to stop our identities from being shaped by other things. Great. So let's look at a positive spin on the same question that'll come up next. Are we building good habits that help us put our anchor in Christ? What are these good habits? You know, just committing, making sure I'm going to come together on Sundays with other believers and worship Jesus. That's a good habit. Is it helping us? Somewhat, yes. That's good. That's wonderful. Again, this question is designed to help us prayerfully move forward in the right direction. Saying, hey, I want to do these things so I can draw my identity more from Jesus. That's good. Great, let's shift track just a little bit, and I'm going to throw a couple of questions to all of you, and then we'll come back to the panel and close with one last round of questions. it's going to come up. Do you believe reading, meditating, and praying through the Bible, that's a good habit, is important for our spiritual growth and practical daily life? A simple enough question. Excuse me. That's great. That's good. So pretty much, it's a simple question. I think we're all pretty much on the same page. But I have another question coming up, and that's going to complete the story for us. And this is a desire, and the second question is reality. I read, meditate, and pray through the Bible almost daily, about 4 to 5 times a week, 2 to 3 times a week, hardly ever. And this is anonymous. No one's going to know who's answered what. So just feel free. Yeah, and again, this is designed to make us aware of something. So let's see what the results throw up. Look at that gap there. It's interesting, isn't it? All of us, pretty much all of us, in the previous question, agreed that it is important to read and pray through the Bible daily. But the reality is that half of us are at a hardly ever. And again, as we've been seeing, Jesus does not bring shame to our hearts. He's not going to condemn us because we are not doing this. He's not going to reject us. On the other hand, I believe this panel and each of them sharing their lives is the grace of God flowing into our lives through them. I believe today God is inviting us to bridge that gap. And I believe God, by His Holy Spirit, without us striving or coming under pressure or condemnation, it is Him in love. God is like a lover pursuing us. He's inviting us to enjoy more of Him, to know more of Him. And that happens predominantly through His Word. And that's the thing that we're going to be talking about last. The whole process of identity formation, I think reading and praying through and meditating on the Bible daily and coming together as a church in Sunday service and gap groups is such an important part of that. And truly, we can form our identities in Christ only when we remain in Him, when we commune and connect and fellowship with Christ daily through His Word. And that's what we're going to be looking at. I want to request all of the panelists to look at this question. Can you, each of you, talk about your joys and your struggles, right? We saw the statistics there. Your joys and your struggles in terms of just reading and praying through the Bible using the tool called Community Bible Reading Journal, CBR Journal, using that as a tool. Just talk about your journey over the last year. And we all know that's important, but let's just talk about our journey. Yeah, so anyone can go first, yeah. Yeah, go for it.
So I used to be in that blue color column where I would do CBR community Bible reading almost every day, and I would share like diligently. But I think in the last 1 year, especially post this startup, and I think dropped to like 2-3 times a week. And it's a struggle. It's a struggle to find time to do it without my daughter or my... I prefer doing it alone. And so for me, at the back of my mind, even if I'm able to wake up before everyone, to sit down and do it without thinking of what do I make today, what do I get done today, it's been a real struggle. But the joy that comes is that even though I know I'm struggling to do it, but when I do sit down to do it, the takeaways are really beautiful. I'm able to love my colleagues better. I'm able to love my husband and daughter better. I feel that if I didn't at least those two three times in a week didn't do CBR, I would probably turn into a much uglier version of who I am. And it gives me the grace to kind of hold on to Christ. And I know that if I were able to do it a lot more, I know that I would probably have more grace. I'm not going to be perfect or anything. Suddenly the success is not going to come at work. But I know that when it's a bad sales day or when my daughter's throwing a tantrum, I can hold on to that anchor and be calm. Which is what I think CBR has been really helpful, is that when I'm able to do CBR, I feel I have much calmer days. And when I'm not able to do it, I lose sight of the gospel. I lose it, basically. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you for being honest. Yeah. Taru? Yeah.
So I think I've really struggled with this some days recently, especially like waking up after getting mad, waking up, going to work, waking up with only 15 minutes to go to work. So those kind of things. And it has just fallen down on my list of priorities, and then I feel consumed by guilt. But I always remember that something that we say at New City, no shame, no pride in having done it every day, no shame in not having done it every day. And that kind of keeps resonating with me through every day. And sometimes I sit down to do it, and I'm like reading through the words, and I'm like, I don't understand. But there are some days when I sit down and I see so clearly the love of Christ, the sacrifice that he has given himself for us, and it just blows my mind. And I wish that I would chase that more. I think the reality is that I don't chase it enough. I wish that I would chase that more. So that's my journey with CBR. It's been up and down, and I am chasing that blue box every day.
Yeah, that's very honest. Now, let me just say this. God does not love us more if we read the Bible daily. God does not love us less if we don't read the Bible. Let's be very clear about that. On the other hand, we read the Bible because we love God. Reading the Bible is not a way of earning God's blessing. Reading the Bible is a way of saying, God, you've been so good to me, and I want to grow closer to you. So reading the Bible is not a box to tick to earn God's blessings. He loves us. He loves us, period. He loves us not because of what we have done or what we have not done. He loves us because of what Jesus has done on our behalf. That's what this communion reminds us of. That Christ was broken for us so we can be made whole. That's why we read the Bible. And I think that's coming through. We'll hear the other panelists on this as well. Madhu?
You know, this phrase comes to my mind. At New City, we say it's rhythms of grace, right? Like doing your CBR, which is reading your Bible and coming to church, or GAP. I have really fallen off the wagon this year, starting this year. Like, it's been abysmal, my spending time with God. But then I think what has kept me going is the time I had invested earlier. You know, the past year I had spent, a lot of time, and I'd made it a priority. And I'm struggling to get back. But, So I think for me, the difference that has been now that I'm in this place, which is... where I'm not in it as much versus the time I had invested last year. Like, I had my God glares on, you know, in the morning. Like, if you read the word, you just have a different way of looking at the world, right? Like, the same situation comes in, and if you're rooted in the gospel right in the morning, the reminder, the wisdom from God, you see the situations differently versus, you know, if you find me at work one of these days, I'm like literally tearing my hair down. So it's not so pleasant version of me right now. So yeah, that.
Yeah, yeah. When was the last time you heard this kind of honesty on a panel? That's what the gospel does to us.
So I think at the moment I'm strongest I've ever been spiritually in my life. Ooh. And I'm saying that because it's the time I've seen my sin more than I've ever seen it before. There is a full connection between regularity of CBR and where I am just now. And CBR has blessed me more than it's blessed that anything else has blessed me. And I know this is God enabling me to keep this rhythm. It's something I look forward to. It's something that I end up going late to work sometimes because the grace of God just pours so deeply that you cannot but stop there and deal with that issue and then move ahead. And I'm just praying that God would enable me to stay in this grace of CBR, it's not something that's been part of my life like forever. It's something I've struggled with, but I think the beauty of CBR is the format, the ability to be able to share with each other. Interestingly, CBR has also showed me how I wait for people's response to my CBR. So it's also, my response to CBR has also shown me my same pattern. And I was just thinking through it today and God reminded me and said, hey, if you're putting up what I've given you, then is people responding to what I've said and not what you've said? So you better shape up in that area. But CBR has been a blessing. It really has.
Yeah. I know many of us have been blessed by what Stephen has been sharing pretty much every day on the group. Yeah, Asha?
So if I look at this graph, that's how my CBR has been going. So there are many times where I've hardly done it. There are times when I'm doing it every day. There are times when I'm doing 4 to 5 days a week. There's one struggle. I think I'm not consistent in doing my CBR. That's a pattern that I've identified. And that's something I struggle with. Even sometimes, just like Tarika was saying, when you get up in the morning, you feel like you're running late for work. So let's do CBR later. And sometimes that later doesn't come. So, trying to get into that rhythm is something that I'm struggling with. Having said that, whenever I've done my CBR, I've had the joy of seeing the gospel come out clearly in whatever I've read. And I've been able to see Jesus in all of the passages that I've been doing CBR. So that was something that I never had. I mean, that was something that I learned when I was doing CBR that really helped me.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Asha. And I think that's really a big takeaway that we were hoping to see this morning. Us growing in our conviction, us growing in our prayer, asking God to help us grow in just enjoying Him more consistently through His Word. And so we're going to close with one last question again to all of you. It's going to come up here. As I walk into communion, you're going to walk into communion this morning, I'm going to make a commitment to read, meditate, and pray through the Bible daily and pray for the grace to do so. This is not something we can manufacture. We need God's grace. And so let's kind of see what the voice of the church is on that, if we can. That's a beautiful picture. That's a picture of beauty in brokenness. And that's the picture that the panel has been portraying for us as well. That we are broken. that we cannot fix our life on our own, that we cannot do it by ourselves. We need the grace of God, and we need this community around us. We need to help one another to do this. I think that's a great note to end on. Are we going to go into a time of prayer? Are we going to go into a time of worship and communion? But first, I think we should give the panel a really big, big hand. They've been very honest. Yeah. 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 Wonderful. Thank you. Thank you.